Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello there, friends, and yay, it's Friday, or Fri-yay, as my kids say, and I say now. It is Friday. I am so happy that we've made it through another week, and I've got a great show lined up for you today. It is Friday, so we do Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I am answering questions from listeners, from patients, from my network, from all over the world, really, and I'm trying to answer those pressing questions that come in. And there are a lot of questions. So up today on the show, I'll be answering some questions about tech. We'll be talking about the habit of the week. If you've been following along since January, we're on a journey to build 52 habits for healthy families. I'll be talking about those habits related to technology. And I'll also be answering a question that I got this week from a dad who was asking for help and connecting emotionally with his kids. So I will answer that. But before that, we've got something else that's really important to discuss. Let's discuss the elephant in the room, or the donkey in the room, if you will. Unless you've been asleep for the last 24 hours or somewhere without cell service, that's you, you've likely heard that we had a presidential debate last night. Now, I actually was in Nashville all week at a large nursing conference, and everywhere this morning as I was traveling, I spoke with nurses and their families and other people from all over the United States, and the debate was the topic that everyone was discussing. I heard from people from all walks of life with very diverse political views all across the political spectrum. But I started to notice a very interesting phenomenon in all of these conversations. Now, you and I both know we are living in a world that has been starkly marked by political division and partisanship, with bitter battles over issues that are so important. They are indeed important, which is one of the reasons why we are so passionate about our beliefs. But as I spoke with so many different people with so many different views, there was one thing that we all agreed on, and there was no one that I spoke to who was not deeply, deeply concerned about the future of our country. We were all worried. I saw worry on every face, and if I'm honest, I saw a lot of fear. Now, a lot has been said to give political and policy analysis of the debate, and that is important. We need people who are willing to engage with courage and integrity and wisdom to guide those policy decisions that are impacting our daily lives and our livelihood. But in the midst of all this commentary, here today on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, I want to remind you that our children are watching. They are watching our reactions to all of this very closely. They are listening to our words. They are watching the emotion on our faces. And they're making note of our posture and our gestures that we use. Children, no matter what age, look to their parents for guidance, for security, for cues, and how to shape their own response. I remember once having a very heated discussion with my husband about a political situation. Now, we were in total agreement, but we were fired up about this topic. Our discussion was spirited, to say the least. And you know what? We were angry about what had happened. And to be truthful, we were a little afraid. I felt so good, though, being able to vent with him and knowing we were aligned, knowing we were on the same page, and that we both really, really cared. But I remember even more looking around to the back seat of our minivan. Yes, I was a minivan mom for a long time, and I'm proud of that. And I saw our school-age children in the back seat. Now, they were sitting very quiet and very still, which was unusual, and probably what prompted me to turn around to see what was going on. And I was absolutely shocked to see silent tears rolling down one of my children's faces. And I was honestly immediately confused, and I was alarmed because I wondered what in the world had happened. And I said, you know, what's wrong, baby? And my child asks so meekly, "Why are you and Daddy fighting?" Their perception of my conversation was so different than mine. And I feel like the Lord reminded me of that incident this morning as I was praying about the debate that happened last night. So parents, today I want to remind you that we have an absolutely incredible opportunity. I think most, if not all of us, are deeply concerned about the things that are going on in our country. And we are all awaiting the presidential outcome in November. But we have the privilege of stewarding the ability to guide our children's response and to strengthen their faith. So in light of the things that you do to be outwardly facing, engaged in addressing the issues of today, don't forget to be inwardly facing too. Guide your family's response. And I want to encourage you to start that by doing these three things. First, recognize that God is in control. He is not surprised by any of this. He is not in heaven wringing his hands saying, "Oh no, what's going to happen?" No. We serve a God who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. In other words, he's all-powerful, he's all-present, he is all-knowing. Let me give you some reminders from Scripture. Daniel 2:21, "He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Isaiah 45:6 and 7, "That people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things." Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is as a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." Job 12:10, "In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Now listen, you may think I'm going overboard, but God's word is way better than my word. And God's word is better than any other words that we've heard on the presidential debate or any words that we can come up with our own wisdom. There are so many other scriptures, and what a comfort that we can look to God's word for wisdom. We can share these messages with our family that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart because God has already overcome the world. From Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So first, assure your family of your faith in a God who is in control. We can take so much hope and so much peace in that, and it doesn't matter if your kids are little or older or grown, or if it's your wife at home or your husband or whoever it is who's in your house. Assure your family of your faith in a God who is in control. Second, I want to ask you to pray for our country. Your prayer time should match the time you spend worrying about this and talking about it. Make sure you are modeling to your family that you trust in God in times of trouble, and you turn your cares into prayers. Really, truly, if any day we need to turn our cares into prayers, cast your cares upon Jesus. He cares for you. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Gather your family together and let them hear your prayers, trusting God to care for you and lead you and guide you and guide our country. I encourage you to pray together today as a family. There are health benefits of prayers. Praying reduces our feelings of isolation, of fear, and anxiety. It reduces our anger. And people, friends, we need that. There are quite a few of us who need that. It reduces our feelings of anger and aggression. It makes it easier to offer forgiveness. It counteracts the flight or fright stage that many of us feel after last night. It improves emotional regulation. It accelerates recovery from trauma or from physical or surgery. And it increases our lifespan. So there are a lot of ways you can do this. You can designate a specific space in your home. You can keep a prayer journal. You can create a prayer photo album for your kids. Put pictures of your elected leaders, of your family members, and have even very young kids pray through that book. Pray before meals. Pray before bed. Pray on the spot when someone asks you for prayer. Pray when you pass an ambulance or a hospital or a governmental institution. Use one-sentence prayers. Everyone pray one sentence out loud. Read scriptures out loud as prayers, just as I just did right here on the show. Make a prayer bulletin board in your home. Ask your kids their highs and lows of the day and use that as a prayer guide for both gratitude and intercession. And if you've seen the movie Unsung Hero, you saw that that family use sticky notes to add to their prayers on one side, and they would move them to an answered column when those prayers were answered. There's so many ways to incorporate prayer more into your life. Your children will see your confidence in accessing a higher power during times of uncertainty, fear, and anxiety. They'll see you as a powerful advocate interceding on their behalf. They'll also benefit vicariously through the health benefits that you receive. If you're less angry, less aggressive, less worried, that's only going to benefit your kids. The third thing I want to ask you to do, this is going to be a hard one, is take a break from the news. Now, it is not good for us to have scary headlines infusing our hearts and our souls 24/7. Our kids need a break. We need some time to play together, to laugh together. And there's some scriptures for this too. Job 8:21. He will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Psalm 2:4. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. Psalm 30:11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's spirit. Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to cry and a time to laugh. And sometimes, friends, that happens within the same 24 hours. Sometimes it even happens within the same hour. So don't go away. Listen, when we come back, I'm going to give you some alternatives in tracking that screen time. And I'm going to give you 5 questions that you can use to talk to your kids about the state of our country and guide their heart and strengthen their faith. And then don't forget, in that last segment, I'll be talking specifically to dads, although it can help anybody with their family relationships. I'll see you in just a minute. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. So much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope. Whatever it is you may be going through, I know it's not gonna let it get the best of you. You're an overcomer. Stay in the fight till the
Welcome back, friends. Yep, I'll let that one play a little bit longer today. Don't we need that? Listen, music was one of my top four habits for healthy families because music really sets the tone in our home and it can adjust our attitude and our heart posture. And we need to remember today and all days that we are overcomers. We are, in fact, more than conquerors, we are told in scripture. So if you are feeling down for a moment, feeling like it's hopeless, that's when he reminds you. And we are here to remind you of that today, that we are overcomers. Well, welcome back to Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. I am answering your questions. And of course, my phone has been going crazy with questions about the debate. And we talked about that. I hope you were able to listen to the word of encouragement I gave you in the first segment. I want to give you some questions to ask your family member to have some healthy conversation about your cares and concerns about this. So instead of leading with lecturing and going with your venting, like I shared with you, I did in the car, and just letting it all out, let me encourage you to ask your kids or your spouse these questions. What are you hearing about the presidential election? How are you feeling about it? These are open-ended questions. Now, if you're asking your kids, I guarantee you, even school-age children are talking about this today. This is a topic of conversation. It'd be really interesting for you to hear from their perspective what they're hearing, whether they're in second grade or 12th grade or in college or they're grown and out on their own. Ask, what are you hearing and how are you feeling about that? Ask, how is this impacting you personally? You might be surprised to see what they're worried about, what they're thinking about, what they think might happen, what their perceptions might be if the election is one outcome or if something happens to the country. Ask them, what can I do to help you feel safe and secure? What can I do? Now, that may be, I don't know what you can do. It may be, I really wish you could do something, but for right now, I just want a hug and right now, I want to do something fun. I want to take my mind off of this. Just ask them, what can you do to help them feel safe and secure? And then ask, what do you think you can do to make a positive difference? There are so many ways for kids to get engaged with making a positive difference in the world. And putting our intention and our action in something positive is a great way to go, especially when we're feeling discouraged and overwhelmed and fearful and anxious. Maybe that's just taking cookies to your neighbors tonight. That is something that is beautiful. Maybe it's writing a letter to your elected official. Who knows what they could come up with, but come up with together as a family what you can do. But most of all, I encourage you to be present. That is what your kids need today more than anything. They don't need you to be a perfect parent that can fix every who can fix everything. They need you to be a present parent, and not just physically present, because you might be present at mealtime, at school functions, at sporting events, and you think, I'm here all the time. But let me ask you this. Are you mentally present when you're at home and around your family? Are you mentally present about being intentional, looking for cues when your family member's ready to talk to you? Do you immediately give them your full attention? Put down whatever is in your hands and listen with your face. Are you mentally present? Now let me ask you, are you emotionally present? And are you validating their feelings? Are you invested when they're celebrating? Are you celebrating with them when they're feeling discouraged? Are you responsive to that? So here are three questions for your family today. You can ask these at the dinner table if you want to, after you talk about the presidential election. Am I in all the places and coming to all the things you want me to be there for? You can do a little self-check on if you feel like you're physically present in your family's life, and if they feel that way too. Then ask, do you feel like I give you my full attention when we are talking? That's going to tell you if you're mentally present. And then ask, do you think that I understand and respect your feelings? And if the answer to any of those is no, please don't be crushed. Don't be heartbroken. Don't be discouraged. Be grateful for an opportunity to course correct and follow up with this question and say, how can I be more present in your life? Where do you want me to be more present? That is so important. And, you know, I think that God put on my heart a scripture for this week, the scripture that I'm learning and meditating on. I've given you a lot of scripture today, but like I said, this is one of the top habits. It's number two, actually. Number one is prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's from Psalm 139, 23, and 24. And, you know, sometimes we can get so busy in life that we just don't realize that we've picked up unhealthy habits. We don't realize that we've physically checked out. We don't realize that we have mentally checked out. We don't realize that we have emotionally checked out, that we're not present. And sometimes we give ourselves more credit than we deserve. This is so amusing, honestly, to see in research, because when we ask parents about, you know, how about healthy behaviors, or how often you're tucking your kids in, or whatever it is, parents are always going to give themselves a higher rating than their kids do. We always assume the best of ourselves and sometimes the worst of other people. And this can be true in screen time. Now, I'm seeing this today because when we hear news that's scary, when we're feeling uncertain, a lot of us tend to be glued to our screens. You might be glued to a news feed, glued to social media reactions that are coming around because we're seeking information to make ourselves feel more secure. And before we know it, we've spent all day engaged in a screen. So this week's healthy habit that I'm encouraging you to do is tracking your screen time, being really objective about it. Now, this is really easy to do if you have an iPhone, which most people do. Not everybody does, but every phone has some mechanism, or there's an app you can see. Or even if you don't have an app and you think, I'm not on a smartphone, how much are you watching TV? Or looking at another screen or an iPad or something like that. You can get a piece of paper out and just keep track. Just make it a habit just for this week to keep track of how much screen time are you actually having. Now, for me, I've shared many times that my screen time notification comes up on my phone every Sunday morning as I'm walking into church as a measure of conviction. Jessica, here is how much time you wasted this week that could have been reinvested into your family, into your own physical health, into your own emotional, mental, or spiritual health. Because as much as I can try to justify my screen time, the truth is I waste a lot of time too, and most of us do. Screen time is indicative of being distracted. It really induces us to shallow thinking, and we can think, where did the day go? Where did the last hour go? We start scrolling mindlessly through our phones, and that's what happens. We need to be intentional about our screen time, because the way that we use it now is really, honestly, as a distraction and self-medication. You can't hardly sit in a car wash waiting to get your oil changed, waiting for to pick somebody up, waiting for your order to be ready. And I wonder, I really do wonder, how much our world would be changed if instead of getting on my phone when I'm waiting for my coffee order to come up, if instead I was looking around, praying for people I saw, just something as simple as that, and just asking God to bless those people who are around me. Do I need to look around and see a worker who maybe needs a word of encouragement, and I could offer that instead of watching a cat video? And this is especially for my husband. I realize some people watch dog videos. Some people are dog video people, and that's okay too. But you know what? The lure of like finding something that will distract you or entertain you, it just pulls us in, and it has become a habit just to reach for a screen or to have the TV on in the background all the time. And we know that we should be doing something more useful, more purposeful with our time. We should be reading or journaling or doing our housework or going to bed earlier or engaging with our family. But we need to use technology like a tool. It is a tool to help us with our life. So imagine if you have a power tool, a hammer, you pull it out for a specific task, you do that task, and then you put it back. You go and put it away, accomplish the mission, thinking, why am I using that? Now, you can schedule time within your week to be intentional to say, okay, I'm going to give myself a half hour of just scrolling and catching up on social media. That is my task, is to catch up, to go through my newsfeed or whatever it is. But we need to think about it in a more task-oriented way. So for that notification, honestly, I would encourage you sometime, especially over the summer, sit down with your family and ask everybody to share their screen time. If you have parental controls, you have access to that, and you can pull it up and share everybody's screen time and talk about it. And not to shame each other, but to spur each other on to good works. Look at that screen time that you've had and set some goals for the week. Now, don't set goals to say, if you have 6 hours of screen time a day, don't say, okay, I'm going to cut that down to 30 minutes, because you'll just set yourself up for failure. So maybe cut it down by 30 minutes that day, or say that you're going to be more purposeful. But you can start by just tracking it to see, where is your time actually going? Your time is your most valuable commodity. You don't have anything in your life that's more valuable to spend than your time. And we are just spending it so freely and so carelessly on technology when we could be reinvesting that in our relationships. You may wonder, why am I not getting along? Why is there fighting with my family? And you have to think about, where are you investing your time? So I encourage you to look at what time you have. Now, my family, last summer, we started keeping track of all the time that we decided collectively to give up our phones together. We just put them in a little cardboard box. It wasn't anything fancy at all. We had a little piece of paper on it, and we would say we got 30 minutes back that we invested in our family together. Maybe we went on a walk. Maybe we watched a show together. Maybe we did a puzzle. And we got that time back together. But here are some other just encouragements to, as you're thinking about that, how you're spending your time. Because you need to create some tech-free spaces. We've talked about this before in tech-free zones. We all use our tech from the minute we open our eyes in the morning until the minute we fall asleep at night. So just think about what areas in your home can you designate as tech-free, because that will help you keep some boundaries in and of itself. If you don't have your phone in the bedroom, it will be easy to not reach for it, and maybe you'll even sleep better. But designating some certain tech-free zones in your home, it opens up time for other things, and it allows your brain to decompress from all the stimulation throughout the day. Even going back to the debate coverage, you watch for about an hour and then they start repeating things, right? It's the same clip they're showing over and over again. Unplug, decompress. Think about your mornings and your evenings. Schedule tech-free blocks of time, especially first thing in the morning, is really helpful. Just thinking that you go straight to your Bible, straight to your devotional, that you take a walk, that you take just some time for quiet. Or maybe it's a device-free dinner where you're, you know, looking to see no phones at the table. And you can even make this fun and play a game where the first person to check their device does the dishes, or make them pay for the whole meal if you're out for dinner. That would be really fun, right? You can use an alarm clock in your bedroom. I know that's revolutionary, right? But you can use something that is not your phone. Another way to think about this is, do you need a digital detox? Disconnecting is a powerful way to reconnect with yourself, with your family, those people that you love. So maybe pick a day to be offline and just say, you know what? I am offline on Sunday. So if you need me, this is how to get in touch with me. But really try maybe that day, that afternoon, or that time. Or maybe you need a tech-free vacation and just say, you know what? I'm going to be away from my tech for a week. And that's okay to do. You can also think about your intentions. So before you open your app, when you reach for your phone, as you're putting in your password, just pause. Take a moment to breathe. And think, what is my intention in using this tech right now? What task do I need to accomplish? What am I trying to do? Am I connecting with people through social media? Am I ordering something? Am I scheduling something? And if you just find yourself mindless scrolling, try something different instead. Take a walk, put on music, journal. Pray. Go talk to a real person, a real human being. That can be really, really helpful. And we can use technology in a positive way, expressing our appreciation. So instead of just scrolling through social media, take a minute to text 10 people in your contact list and give them a prayer, a message of affirmation, a connection. And those things can be helpful. Well, when we come back, I've got some advice for dads on how to cultivate an emotional connection with your kids and how not to feel weird about it. So we'll be right back on the other side of this break.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Me to stay that way through all life's demands, cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me, and every little thing I make up my mind to be, like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix, and I'ma be a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me, though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast for the eyes, a low blow to purpose, and I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't want to gain my soul.
The
Welcome back, friends. That is a message for us today. We don't want to gain the whole world and lose our souls. And let me tell you, the whole world for you right now is your family, who those people you love, who you are around. That's what we've been talking about today in light of some tough news cycles and some fear and anxiety that is gripping the country. Let me give you some encouragement. I hope that you were able to listen in on that first segment where I gave some encouragement that God laid on my heart to share with you to find some peace and some joy in a world that seems like that's hard to come by. And we've been talking about this week's healthy habit, which is tracking your tech time. And again, we tend to be much more kind to ourselves than the truth really is. But I encourage you this week to look and really be intentional and really be purposeful to see how much screen time you're having and where you could carve some of that time back and reinvest it into your family. The scripture we are meditating on this week to help you in that is Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Even if that grievous way is being angry about the state of everything that's there, or using too much screen time. Listen, we all have things that we're working on, and we can spur each other on to good works. Well, I do want to say that as we're working on these habits, and we're trying to stack them, not to put something else to do into your day, but to integrate them into your everyday way of life, it's important to celebrate the small successes. Sometimes we can set a goal that's so lofty, we can be so hard on ourselves and just think, oh, I hate that I did that. I wish that I did that. I mean, we heard that Paul say that in scripture, right? The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I do want to do, I don't do. But let me just encourage you with, actually, these are called tiny habits, the small changes that change everything. And you have to think about, they frame it like this. There's an anchor moment, an existing routine, something that you do every day, like brushing your teeth. And that anchor moment reminds you to do a new tiny behavior. And that tiny behavior is a simple version of the new habit you want. So maybe that is, you know, you are getting up in the morning and you touch your alarm and you're thinking, oh, but I remember the first thing that I want to touch in the morning is God's word. So let me read one verse. And then celebrate that. Say, yes, I did that. That's so good. We have got to celebrate those small successes. And that is also true when it comes to our relationships with our kids. So I got a message from a dad this week who said, I'm a single dad, and I want to improve my connection with my daughters. How can I bring that mom element and connect emotionally with them without it being weird? I need help. And listen, I've got some advice for you. And it doesn't matter if you're a single dad, a married dad, a dad of a young daughter, a dad of a teen daughter, a dad of a grown daughter, or not even a dad at all. You're a husband. It doesn't matter. This advice will be helpful for you. But specifically talking about dads, let me tell you this. When a mother gives her daughter words of affirmation, she receives it as a compliment. Oh, thank you, Mom. That was nice. You're supposed to say that. You're my mom. But when a father gives his daughter words of affirmation, she receives that as her identity. So dads, you have a built-in advantage because your daughters carry so much weight in the words that you use. Now that is a double-edged sword. It is a stewardship. It's a responsibility. It's a privilege. But just know that it's also an advantage because when you speak words of life to your daughters and to your sons for that matter, kids think your mom is supposed to say nice things about you. Even if you look atrocious, you smell awful, they're just going to say they love you anyway. Or even, you know, even if they're truthful, it's kind of like, you know, that mom loves you. But fathers have an incredible influence in building their daughter's self-esteem and expectations on how they should be treated by other people. And really a wonderful way to help your daughters become confident, emotionally healthy women is to date them. Honestly, to take them out and spend quality time with your kids intentionally. Fathers have an incredible privilege in your role of building your daughter's self-esteem. And so to invest in the emotional well-being of your children, you've got to first spend time together. And the more time that you spend together, it just provides natural outlets for conversation. If you try to go and sit by them on the couch and just say, okay, so I'd really like to be more invested. Why don't you just tell me everything about your life? Yes, that's awkward. But spending time together helps you explore their interests and you hear about their hopes and their dreams. And this is a complete adventure in discovering who our children are. This is so exciting. And we don't have a lot of time, but we can intentionally invest our time because we're pressed for time these days. You're trying to work. You're trying to go to soccer practice. You're trying to put food on the table. But it's important to pursue their gifts and aspirations. So let them set the agenda for what that time looks like. You can ask them, hey, what would you ask me to do with you if you knew I wouldn't say no? And maybe that's do a TikTok video or something that's like way out of your comfort zone. Maybe that's playing a video game. Maybe that's trying a recipe. Maybe that's going for a hike. Ask them what it is and see if you can meet that and be authentically awkward about it. It's completely fine. And just know that if this isn't something that you're in the habit of doing, of asking to spend time together, it might be met with resistance or even rejection at first. Don't take that to heart. Build up their trust over time. Show them that this isn't just a passing fancy, that you didn't just listen to some radio show and decide, oh, I need to do this, but that it's an intention and that your heart is set toward that. That is really important. When you are spending time together, whatever you're doing, don't feel pressured about what to say. Listen more than you talk. Just really, really try not to say anything. Just try to listen, 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 and listen with your face. Not too long ago, I did a suicide prevention event in my own community, and I put a table by the door, and I wrote a question on paper at the top of the table, and I said, what are you afraid to ask your parents for? All of these teenagers start coming in the room, and I had little post-it notes, blank ones, all over the table so that they could put their answer. And I had all kinds of assumptions about what this would be, but one word filled the table, and that word was some variation of listen. They just want to feel seen. They want to feel heard. They want to feel known, and they want to feel loved. So when you're spending time with them, it's so easy to get distracted by something they say and feel like you need to impart some life wisdom or lecture them about something or be distracted and just lose attention in what they're saying. Listen with your face. I've talked about this a lot, but it's a good reminder. In today's world, we often listen to our kids with our face in a screen. This is why we need to track it, like I was talking about earlier. It's called fubbing. Phone snubbing. Our kids feel disconnected and disrespected and dismissed when we do this. And when we make eye contact for at least 20 seconds with our kids, it prompts their brain to secrete oxytocin. That's a bonding chemical that makes them feel connected to us. So dads, this is a built-in advantage. Make eye contact and listen to what they say, and you can have that connection that you're starting. Let me give you another scripture. I've given you a lot of scriptures today. But this one comes from Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So when you're listening, think about that love your teen model. It doesn't matter how old your kid is or even if it's your spouse. Listen with your face. O, offer open-ended questions. V, validate their emotions. Say, I can see you're worried about this. I can see you're excited about this. And then E, explore next steps together. But you underestimate the power of your affirmation. Make it specific and make it character related. Tell them something you admire about their character. So if they ask you to go and do some physical activity with them, say, you know, I admire how you persevere. I feel tired, but you're still going. Or I admire the way that you handled yourself in that situation. Tell them what you admire about their character. it will go so far and mean so much. And if you do speak words of affirmation from Scripture. That can be, you are chosen. You are never alone. You are a child of God. You are a masterpiece. You are the apple of God's eye. You're being transformed. Just put some of those affirmations in your back pocket and speak them over your daughters, over your children, over your family. Often, make little sticky notes and put them on the mirror so that they can know that you are speaking those words of affirmation. Here is another practical suggestion for you for an emotional connection. It's Friday night. We have a lot of kids who will go out and who will do something tonight, who may be out with friends. So listen, make their bed while they're gone. And listen, I know kids may expect their mom to do this more, but if a dad did this, I think you might need to be prepared with CPR because your child might need resuscitation because this would be an amazing thing. Make their bed while they're gone. Leave their favorite snack food on their pillow with a note telling them how much you love them. Tell them you're glad they're home safe. Tell them you hope they get a good night's sleep in a place where they are always welcome. And here's the catch, never say a word about it or expect a thank you. Listen, we have to remember that our teens are developmentally wired to be egocentric. They think only of themselves. That's how their brain works, literally. And there are two theoretical concepts of adolescent egocentrism. Now, I know those are big words. Let me break it down. Imaginary audience. A teen believes that they are constantly being assessed or judged or scrutinized by everyone around them, including you as their dad. Their personal fable, they also believe they are unique and special and exempt from the rules or circumstances. So this is what leads them to believe that you don't understand what they're going through. So they're on their own to figure life out. Because they believe their peers think exactly the way they do, this is why they reject your advice, because it just differs from the way that they're thinking. So instead of taking that rejection personally, reframe your position to coach their brain. And remember, it's just a season. Intentionally think back to times when you were a teen and how you thought of and how you treated your parents. Listen, there is something very powerful in little gestures like this to remind your child that they are seen, they are known, they are loved. And it also models intentionality in serving others. Now, I gave some ideas also at Christmas time, but I will give these now because there are some experiential gift ideas that you can have for your kids. Like, let me give you some things. You could maybe purchase a t-shirt or memorabilia from your child's favorite sports team and take them out to a game together. Maybe you get 4 gift cards to their favorite restaurants. Now, this could be a $5 fast food. It does not have to be expensive or lavish or nice. But give them those 4 with a ticket to cash in during the upcoming year for a dinner date or a, you know, go out for to get a special fun drink. That's what my husband calls it. If you're going to go get a lemonade or something from Sonic, that's where we have. Try that. Or maybe take them to a movie that they might want to have or do a class together, a cooking class, a pottery class, a painting class, yoga, photography, axe throwing even might be fun. Or maybe plan to read a book together. Or you can take a masterclass online. Go to masterclass.com. I get nothing from promoting that at all. It is just an idea. But they offer memberships that are $15 a month for 2 people. So maybe that's something you can do this summer. Or do a this or that experience where we can go camping here or here. Or we can go visit this city or this city. I'll go to this beach or this sporting event or this sporting event or that. And let them choose. That can be really helpful in having them feel like they have some skin in the game and that they have some investment and that you are invested in their interest. Another fun thing to do a movie night experience. Now, this can be what we did in my house was we got 6 little cups. We put 6 categories of movies and we put 5 movies in each cup. We roll a dice, we draw a movie. Nobody is arguing over movies for the next hour. And maybe you could do that for movies that your daughter wants to watch. Yes, I'm talking about dads maybe watching a chick flick, but you never know how that emotional connection might unfold. Well, I cannot wait to see you here next time. In the meantime, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I hope that you will continue to lead your family well. And we'll see you next time here when we prescribe hope for healthy families. Have a great weekend. Bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.